Would you pray with me? Holy One, we come here seeking wisdom as the wise ones did so long ago. We are told the wise ones still seek him. May what we hear today inspire us to seek wisdom in you. Amen. The song that we hear is both melancholy and yet there's something else. The Magi came from afar, the wise ones the sky watchers, the heaven searchers, astrologers or astronomers, the seers, the border crossers and boundary pushers, the wisdom seekers. Advent was a time of prophecy, and we heard predictions from the prophets of old, from Isaiah and Jeremiah, from angels, even from John the Baptizer, foretelling the coming of Christ. Christmas is the revelation to the poor when Mary, the first Christian prophet, sees Jesus for the first time. The first revelation is to the poor, the ones who literally are outside, Mary and Joseph, outside the inns and houses, the shepherds from the hillsides and wastelands and desert scrubs, a carpenter who's making a new life outside. But today, Epiphany is the good news for the world when the representatives of the nations come looking for wisdom. They've seen a star sign. They travel across nations, deserts, and water, travel by night, following the signs in the heavens, the wisdom seekers, the border crossers. The word magi doesn't translate well into the 21st century. We divide knowledge and endeavor and seeking into categories. Science from spirituality, astronomy from philosophy, magic from science, science from faith. But in Jesus' time, there was no such division. An astronomer argued philosophy and the meaning of existence at the same time as they studied physics and calculated mathematical revelations. They studied language and linguistics to find the source, the language of the gods. Astronomers watched the stars, calculated the movements of the planets and their relationship to the earth, made clocks and calendars, but also looked for news in those movements that would tell of the relationship between nations, between humans, between God and humanity, find the future. The prophecies of an earlier time said that the rulers of the world would bow before the Messiah, that under the Messiah, the wealth of nations would come to Israel, camels and cattle and cedars. And so all those images that are painted literally into the images we've come to know of the Magi, famous paintings of Western medieval times and later with camels and cows and donkeys, are symbols of nations or of politics and prophecy. But the Gospels, Luke and Matthew, tell the stories of Jesus' birth, don't speak of kings. They speak of the Magi, the wise ones, or more literally, astrologers, the ones who watch the heavens. Because in ancient times, people did not distinguish between the skies and the heavens. Where else would you look for wisdom for the secrets of the universe? Where else would you look for the answers to life, the universe, and everything? You would look to the heavens, and they did. Great kings and Caesars had their own astrologers to advise them on policy. Traditionally, the Magi have been powerful symbols, signs of several truths. This is not an exhaustive list, by the way. But first, that the Messiah is sought by the wise. Second, that the Messiah is not just for Jews. And third, that all the nations will find their hope there in God the Creator, who comes to the world in a child. And fourth, that the powers and principalities of the world will be deeply disturbed by his coming and will not only turn away from those truths, but will violently oppose them. Herod asks for news of the child, pretending to want to worship him, but actually looking to kill him. The destroyers of truth, those who fear wisdom, and those who fear that the poor will gain knowledge and wisdom will always seek to upend the truth. They will construct systems and structures and walls against the bringing and sharing of wisdom. But wisdom and the wise will always cross borders, undermine fences, and challenge our boundaries. I played a song by Anais Mitchell, and it takes that Christmas card image of the Magi coming through the cold, bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and fuses it with the story of contemporary Bethlehem. For today, Bethlehem is a checkpoint erected by Israel between Palestinians and Israel. It's boundaried by the kind of wall Trump can only dream of. You saw pictures. A wall that has become a worldwide symbol of division, oppression, violence, and conflict in Bethlehem. And also, strangely, has become a place of art, where famous artists come to paint images of oppression and hope on the wall, where people come to sing and pray. When we read the stories of the Nativity, I'm always struck again by how subversive the story is and how relevant it is if we look past Hallmark cards. Remember that when the Magi came to King Herod, King Herod was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. The possibility of a new king, even one that would get rid of violent Herod, was terrifying in its possibilities of war and revolution. And if we take the subversive nature of that story seriously, we may also, and perhaps should be, frightened. The Nativity of Jesus takes place in the midst of the Roman Empire, of colonization and colonialism, of oppression and slavery, of uncertainty, and that context is important. Today, the birth stories of any child are also contextual. The world is in upheaval. Whole nations are burning. Wisdom is despised in the houses of power. Walls are built against both people and knowledge, and children are imprisoned as a threat to the power of nations. But a child is born, born in Bethlehem or here. Wisdom, kindness, justice is born into the world, and the wise still seek him, seek it. Seek her? Around the world, people cross frontiers to work together. Our children are in many ways stronger than we are. Not yet settled into the boundaries, they are marching across the world for change. Anais Mitchell's song comes to its conclusion with these words. Wear we now our warmest coats, wear we now our walking shoes, opened wide the gates of hope and let us through. There were shepherds praying. There were lions laying down with the lambs in West Bank Town. And he so loved the world. We retell the story every year because it's not in the past tense, it's present. The carols, the music, the words saying things like, tomorrow Christ is coming as yesterday he came, or glory to the newborn king, because each year we celebrate what is born anew. It isn't about the past or an imagined future far away or a heaven after our deaths while we leave the world to burn. It's about an adventure, crossing borders in our searching, about welcoming the seekers, protecting the children of others, because they're our future too. And this is the adventure that the wisdom seekers are called to. I say all this not because it's a pretty story, and certainly not because I expect it's going to be an easy road, an easy future. The future is upon us, and it's come in fires of our own making, in tyrants we enable. In this place, in Richmond, in Canada, on the shores of a rising ocean. The most apparent thing we can see of that world right now is the people arriving, crossing borders, looking for new lives. And it's going to take wisdom and knowledge and sometimes just love and compassion but also hard work to find our way through that. But we are not walking alone like the Magi, the wise ones band together. Open wide the gates of hope and let us through. And there'll be shepherds praying and lions laying down with the lambs in a west coast town. For still, he so loves the world. We're going to sing a song that brings wisdom together when heaven's bright with mystery.